Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rivalry Radio, where every rivalry matters. I'm your host, Jay File. Tyler Hayward will be on any second. We got a lot to talk about. Big Ten basketball, legit, period. You want to win in that conference on the road, best of luck to you. That conference is loaded. Michigan State can tell you that. I thought Tom Izzo had some great feedback about how good Rutgers was. This is a team that typically is a bottom feeder in this conference, Rutgers that is, and they really gave Michigan State all they could handle. Before we even get into Big Ten hoops, which we cannot wait to do, sigh of relief for me. I am over the college football and NFL football talks. I am ready for Big Ten basketball. And to join me to talk about college football playoff first, Tyler Hayward. Tyler, let's dive into that and let's get this thing freaking over with, because I am just having a hard time being combative with people in college football. Who's in the top four? Let's just go right to it and why, so we can get the show on the road.
Well, here's the thing. I think we all know who is in. You know, it's going to be Oklahoma. It's going to be Notre Dame. It's going to be Clemson. It's going to be Alabama. All right, what I was doing earlier was making a case for Ohio State. And, I mean, obviously I thought Ohio State, the committee has said conference championships matter. Ohio State has one. The committee, if they have an opportunity, in football it means a little bit more, common opponents. I'm not saying, you know, A is better than B, B is better than C, so A is better than C. So I'm not saying that, but it's Ohio State has beaten Northwestern by more than 10, which is what Notre Dame did, and they beat Michigan by more than 7, which is what Notre Dame did. Ohio State's playing their best football right now. Dwayne Haskins is putting up numbers we've never seen in the Big Ten before. Like we talked about last time, he broke Drew Brees' single-season touchdown pass record. So I think that Ohio State, the way that they have played lately, the way they have fought and scratched and clawed, I think it's deserving enough to go to the college football playoff. Who you take out probably should be Oklahoma, but then that also indicates conference championships don't matter. And so I would ultimately go for Notre Dame. Ohio State has more top 25 wins than Notre Dame. They have that conference title. They have similar opponents that they've dominated more than Notre Dame did. And so that would be the route that I would go. I think it would be great because no organization, especially the NCAA, would want to leave out a moneymaker like an undefeated Notre Dame team, which is why they're going to go. They were not going to go to the playoff. That would turn it into an 8-team playoff pretty quick. You know, I mean, you already gave UCF the championship ring last year. And so then Notre Dame would go out and they would claim one. And it would turn it into an 8-team playoff. It would be best for college football. It would expedite Notre Dame joining conference, so they didn't get those conference championships that would have left them out this season. And so, I mean, the only reason why I'm fighting so hard for Ohio State is because I think it's best for the landscape of college football as a whole. Now, ultimately, Ohio State can go in its fourth and get the train ran on them by Alabama. I really don't care. But I think it would have been best for all of college football.
I totally understand the route that you're taking and what others are as far as conference championships matter. I get that. Like, so get it. But right now, I want to compare the teams who have a shot to get into the Final Four. So when I do that, there's three teams kind of hanging around, and it's Oklahoma, Ohio State, obviously trying to get in at four, and then you got Notre Dame who didn't play in a conference. So I kind of see where people have a debate. Here's all you got to look at when it comes to Notre Dame and those other two teams. Number one, compare them against Ohio State, they get in because they didn't have a bad loss like Purdue, and they beat the same teams that Ohio State did. You can argue how many points they won by. You can also say, well, Notre Dame went to Northwestern and beat Northwestern. They didn't beat them in a neutral site. The Michigan game, I get Ohio State people saying, look, we crushed them and Notre Dame didn't. I get that part. I think there's a lot that goes into that, though. Notre Dame didn't play with the guy you see now, quarterback. So I think there's a lot of debate there. I just think being unbeaten and then going against Ohio State for Notre Dame and not having a bad loss like Ohio State did, I think they go in over them. As far as Ohio State, Oklahoma, we got a big controversy here on our hands because Oklahoma had a lot of close games like Ohio State did. Their loss was to a team who was in the conference championship, and then they beat them. Whereas Ohio State really took care of business, you know, won their conference championship handily. You look at a 45-24 score, I don't care what people say how it wasn't, you know, it was close for a while. You know, it's a big debate. If I had to choose, I just think that 29-point loss to a 6-6 team kills them. Fluke or not, I just think it kills Ohio State, and I think Oklahoma played good enough to jump up to four. I don't want to talk about Georgia. They've lost two games. Sorry, you got to find a way to only have one loss. If they had one loss and it was only to Alabama, I put them in. I put them in over Ohio State and Oklahoma. Didn't happen, though.
Oh, yeah.
You lost another game. Sorry. So, you know, I know Georgia won't be in discussion. It won't happen, but I think people are, for some reason, mentioning that. But I think you got good points about the conference. I think you got – I think Notre Dame eventually is going to have to step up. I do believe that. I know what they're doing with their brand. I somewhat get it. Schedule is not easy every year, where this year it turned out to be easier. You know, typically you play Stanford, USC, Michigan. It's not – those are tough games. You know, they played Georgia the year before. You know, they're playing tough teams. It just kind of depends on how those teams are. So the way they handled business, though, being undefeated, there's only three teams besides UCF who are undefeated. You know, you got to put them in there. But, look, it's a debate that could go on, and I don't want to have it. I mean, if you want to add one more thing, go ahead, but I'd love to talk Big Ten hoops.
All right, yeah, sounds good. The one thing I want to add, just screw Notre Dame and their non-conference championship winning bust. All right, let's talk hoops.
You got to throw a shot in A, I get it. So Big Ten basketball, I mean, wow. Unbelievable. I mean, it's just such a good conference. It's deep. Let's talk Michigan State in that Rutgers game. Obviously, I don't think people are realizing, you said it earlier to me, and you're so right, Michigan State didn't play bad. I mean, Rutgers is good. Rutgers is good. They were at home. Sellout, first sellout since 1997 for Rutgers, and that's a lot of fun to see. To have someone like Rutgers who's better, we need it. Izzo was very praising of Rutgers. Talk about your first thoughts on the Michigan State win and what you saw, and touch a little bit on this conference.
Well, thought was I sat there and I looked at the score and I was like, God, Michigan State only beat Rutgers by 11, coming off a loss to Louisville. That sucks. Granted, Matt McQuaid didn't play this game either. But after a while, you know, you go back and you settle down from the emotion of the fact that, well, I mean, it was a 6-point game with just a few minutes left.
Sure.
You go back and you look at it. It's not like Michigan State played bad. And
right.
It's not like the Louisville game where Langford missed everything for the first, 34 minutes? And so,
right,
and Cassius didn't commit stupid fouls. You know, Ward played well. Tillman played well. Going, like, you look at each one of the players on Michigan State's team, and you're like, you know what? They all played about
they did.
It. And,
yep.
And so at first I was disappointed, but then you look at it, and it's like, you know what? Rutgers just played a heck of a basketball game. It might be the best basketball game Rutgers has ever played.
I disagree.
They're supposed to be.
I think they're good. They're just good.
They're supposed to be a bottom. they're supposed to be a bottom feeder, though, and so people are disappointed. You look at the final number. Oh, well, Michigan State's competing for a national title this year. They should have won by at least 20. And that's not the case. Look, Rutgers played well. All of Rutgers' shots were contested, so it's not like Michigan State's defense fell apart either. So you can't really get mad at the fact you won a Big Ten road game. And we've talked about this a ton. I know we haven't done the show in over a week, but we've talked about it a ton. Besides that, is the Big Ten, top to bottom, is the most dominant conference in college basketball. This might be one of the better conferences when you look at the history of college hoops. You have teams like Minnesota who has superstars that they're not ranked. They're not going to be ranked this season. I kind of laughed at you when you said the winner of this league could have 5 losses. And it's like, after watching the Rutgers game, after seeing, a great game between Iowa and Wisconsin, and you consider Minnesota, you consider Illinois, they run a frantic press. Michigan is playing lights out right now. In Indiana, when they get healthy, they're going to be a really tough out. Obviously, Michigan has been dominant lately, especially on defense. And you look at all of these teams. Ohio State probably looks a little bit closer to the bottom now, but at the same time, you know, they're always athletic enough to score a couple upsets. And so, top to bottom, this league is incredible. And that bottom might end up with – it's probably going to be Illinois, but it might end up with Maryland even. And that's just incredible to think about.
Oh, it's absolutely incredible, because when you look at the conference as a whole, there's just not bad teams. You know, Rutgers, like you said, if anybody watched the game, Michigan State game, they should know one thing. Rutgers is very good. They're a good basketball team. They're not a great basketball team. They're very good. They've got great guard play. They're huge. They're only getting more athletic. They're fast. And Michigan State just took care of business in the second half. I mean, Rutgers missed some shots they probably shouldn't have missed at some point. But I think that State wins that game no matter what. But, that's a team who's growing. And you said that's the best they probably could play. I would say the best is yet to come for them. I think that they are going to be a lot better than that. It's just a matter of time. They're still really young. You know, they got a lot of depth inside them. If you watch the game, you know, we don't look at Rutgers. We don't scout them. We probably should do more of that. But in the end, we can just talk about the game. We understand it. They're really big inside, and they were getting in foul trouble. They still had bigs off the bench. You know, they had a freshman guard who came in who looked really good. They're a good team, and Tom Izzo said it in the post game. They got something brewing over there, and you can't look at the score and say, what the heck, that's a great 11-point win for Michigan State, because that thing could have got south. I mean, Rutgers was on fire, like I said, first sellout since 97. They wanted it. You know, they had a top 10 team in their place. They wanted to win. They just beat Miami. The announcers were saying this is a good basketball team. And like you said, the bottom feeders, who knows? This thing's going to play out, and we'll find out, because I don't know. Indiana might be really good. They might be bad. You know, Northwestern, I was really high on them. You know, thought they should have beat Indiana. They didn't. So this is a really good conference. And I just think that every single night you got to play well. And that is really tough. When you play 20 conference games, and you got to go on the road at Rutgers, you're going to have some problems now.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd there, it looked and it sounded like a blue blood in regards to that. I mean, you might as well have gone to, Raleigh, North Carolina, and have some fun there. But it was energetic. I think there's a couple things they still have to learn about basketball, because it's not likely to see see Rutgers succeed at the level that they have, which, I mean, it's still early, and you're going to look at their final record at the end of the year, and it's not going to be great. They're not going to make the tournament. They're not going to make the NIT. But it's a very good team now. They'll cause some problems for some of the better teams in the Big Ten. They already did. But, you know, once the fans learn the rules of basketball a little bit, because of some of the stuff that they were booing, I was kind of shocked by that. Once they understand that, you know, it's going to be a tough atmosphere to play in for a couple of years. And like we said, you know, the Big Ten, top to bottom, the best conference. I don't care about the tie in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I think that was, a little bit of fluke. You know, like I said, Langford missed everything for the first 34 minutes. Winston played on defense with his arms like you wouldn't expect a kid who got accepted into Harvard to play. You were missing Matt McQuaid. Yeah. So I think part of it was a fluke that kind of led to that, especially the Michigan State game. But I think top to bottom, this is the best league. I'll take any team over the weaker teams in the ACC. I'd say even the weaker five teams in the ACC. So I'd take any Big Ten team over them. So it is what it is. It's going to be a brutal year for Michigan State. It's going to be tough for Michigan. The 20 game schedule is going to be a bear. That's 10 road games right now that you're looking at in the conference. And
yeah. Ouch.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We've talked about it. We've actually seen it take place now. And, I mean, you've talked about it at length, I think, maybe the last three shows about how great this conference is going to be. And I think the first couple days of conference play, you know, give credit to Jeremy Fox.
Yep. Yeah, you know, I don't get it right all the time. And I'm glad it's basketball, though, so I think I get it more right in basketball. But I don't think people realize how difficult it is to play on the road in the Big Ten. I think that's why the conference is so special, because it's really difficult to play in Carver Hawkeye Arena. It's difficult to go to the Breslin and get a win. It's difficult now to go to Chrysler and win. It's difficult to go to Indiana. I could say every team probably. I think Illinois, you know, used to be the Orange Crush. I think it's difficult to play there. I don't know. I mean, I know they've beaten Michigan when they probably shouldn't have at home. So it's just a tough conference to win on the road. So I think the ACC rivals it as far as play, but I don't think it rivals it as far as winning tough games on the road. You know, Rutgers example, you don't get that. You don't get a team who might be a bottom team in the ACC, and you got to go there, and it's hard to win, where, you know, it is in the Big Ten. I'm excited for that. I'm excited to whoever wins this conference is very legit. And the sad thing about all this, Tyler, is we're going to look back, and I do think I'll be right at the end of the year. We're going to look back, and Michigan State or whoever it is that wins it's going to have four losses, and they probably might not even get a number one seed, which is sad because, you know, Kansas will go through that weak conference and win it at will like they always do, and they'll be a one, and Gonzaga will be in a weaker conference and be a one. And then, you know, probably ACC will be one. I'm really hoping
Duke will be a one.
Number one. Yeah, I really think no matter who wins the Big Ten, they should be a one seed, period. And then if they happen to win both regular season and tournament, they for sure deserve a number one because that conference is a bear. You know, let's talk Michigan. You know, I was happy for Michigan one, but disappointed in Purdue two. I think Purdue's got a lot of problems. I think Purdue really has to find a way to get another guy to make plays for him. Carson Edwards, obviously, is an incredible player, but he cannot be the only guy. You know, I know they shoot the ball well from outside, and some of their bigs look okay. But talk about the Michigan-Purdue game, because I really felt two sides. I felt like, you know, Michigan looked really good, but I thought Purdue's got a lot of work to do still.
Yeah, and I mean, that was one of the things that I think we talked about before the season even started, and we were just kind of horsing around on one of our shows, Ball, Midnight Madness, and everything else. I said something to the effect of, basketball is a lot different than football in regards that I think football is more of a team game. I think an individual can take over a game in basketball in a way that they can't do it in football. And I think that I thought Purdue with Carson Edwards had enough to finish third in the Big Ten. I don't think that's the case anymore. Purdue, you know, losing half obviously is huge. Get it? But I think losing a guy like Edwards was even more pivotal because Purdue has just absolutely thrived with a defensive stopper, Edwards being one, not Carson. But then you also had, you know, going back to Chris Kramer and guys like that, you need a stopper to go with a rim protector, and that's when Purdue's at their best. I think that they've been overrated to an extent over the past few years. They've not gotten past, what, the Sweet 16?
Yeah.
In forever. And so I think, and I mean, you can even go back to the days of Robbie Hummel, which was like 1904 with how long he was at Purdue, and I don't think they've made it to the Final Four. So I think that I feel like they've always been overrated, but they have played good enough basketball to win the Big Ten. They have played good enough basketball to win the Big Ten tournament at times, and, you know, sometimes you run into a buzzsaw like a really hot Michigan team, or, you know, you run into Denzel Valentine, who's balling out of control at a certain point in his career. And so it does kind of suck for Purdue, but I feel like they've always been overrated, but you know when they play their best. And, you know, right now I feel like they're lacking a bit on defense to get their offense jump started. Because if you can get a stop and then you get the ball to Edwards off an outlet, I think that that makes them a much more dangerous team. But missing a guy like Edwards, missing a guy like Haas, who he didn't block like a Jaren Jackson level of shots, but he adjusted just as many because of his size.
Yeah.
And I think that I think not having those two guys is a killer for Purdue, and why, you know, we talked about how great the Big Ten is. I had them at 3 coming into the year behind Michigan State, then Michigan. I'm going to, with how good the Big Ten is, I'm going to call them a middle-of-the-road team right now.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to be, you know, you got to find a way to get some other pieces to help Edwards if you want to be at that top part of the conference, because, you know, it's going to be really hard if you struggle week in and week out on road games and not win them. I mean, I would argue that if you're going to win the conference and you got 10 road games, you got to find a way to win 7 of them. And in that conference, that's really hard. You know, and then try to go as close as undefeated at home as possible. So then you're talking 4 or 5 losses still. You know, it would be really hard for any team right now in this conference to win 7 road games. I mean, I just, man, it is tough. So I think Purdue will be okay. I mean, Edwards is a great player. I mean, Michigan, Simpson is the best, maybe the best point guard defender in the conference. He just could not keep Edwards in front of him most of the game. And that says a lot about the strength and the quickness of Carson Edwards, because Simpson is a nightmare defending the ball. And he had a hard time, you know, containing Edwards. But I thought Michigan just looked so fluid on offense. You know, I thought they've struggled on offense a lot of the season. And they're finally starting to figure it out. And Jordan Poole is obviously the reason why. I mean, he's really stretching the defense out even more with his play. Matthews has really improved his three-point shooting. And John Teske, I'm going to tell you, if there's an unsung hero, I mean, we know Simpson's a good player. We know that Iggy is big time already. We're finding that out. And Matthews and Poole can score. John Teske is really making this team different because of his shot-blocking ability, where Wagner wasn't good at that. Wagner was amazing on offense, and he, you know, he'll be missed still during some games, but John Teske is really helpful with that team. He's a big body. His ball screening means more to get the guards open than did for Wagner, where you had to worry about Wagner popping, and that's still a threat, obviously. But look at Teske from 3. I mean, Tyler, I think he hit 3 yesterday from the 3-point line. So now you're talking, those are wide open threes, and now you're saying, oh, man, now we got to come out and, you know, guard him. And they look really tough. But like I told you earlier, I think depth is their only thing missing. But talk about Michigan, because it's hard not to talk about it because it isn't like football. There's no hype train here. But when you really watch them play, they deserve more hype than football ever deserves.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think having a guy like Teske being able to shoot the three, it causes a lot of the same problems offensively that Michigan did a lot last year. Well, you go back to their matchups against Michigan State. I mean, look, Nick Ward dominating and as and intimidating of a presence as you will find in the league. And, you know, when you're playing Michigan, he can't guard a guy like Wagner who can step outside because then he can just drive it right past him. And so when
sure.
And then you throw in the fact that obviously it just stretches out the offense altogether or stretches out the defense altogether because they can all play around the perimeter. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of the same things to an extent this year. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form Teske is better than Wagner because he could do a lot of things offensively that Teske can't do. But
right.
I think that help side defense is a thing that Teske will be able to provide more than Wagner did. Wagner was I'm not going to say a very good defender, but he was good. He was very solid. He was very reliable as a defender. Teske obviously is, but then Teske also has the length to affect more coming from the help side.
He's a great rebounder. Teske's a great rebounder.
Yeah, and the combination of the two, I think, makes him just as valuable as Wagner. I'm not saying he's as good as Wagner. Wagner was still a good defensive player. He was obviously a better offensive player. But the help side defense, I mean, that's how a lot of breaks get started. And when you have guys who can run, and then when you run, you're spreading out the floor, you know, that inside just opens up so much more. And it's something that I think Michigan was going to be able to thrive on. You know, we've talked about how Michigan State has become more of an offensive team than they've been in years past. But everything still starts with defense. You know, Michigan State likes to run the break, and they have Nick Ward running down the middle. They have the wings going on the side. And so you have a team in Michigan who, you know, Teske allows them to run a little bit. So offensively, they're not as talented, but they can get out and they can make the plays on offense because of odd man breaks. And, you know, as the film starts to come out on Teske a little bit more, maybe we'll see adjustments that limit him substantially on offense. But I think defensively, it's still going to be hard to put in the cylinder.
Yeah, I think where Michigan, I'm not going to say they'll have a better season, but where I think that they might be better than last year at is two things. Number one, I didn't know Iggy would be that much of a shot blocker, and I also didn't know John Teske would be that much of an inside presence on defense, where now Michigan can really put pressure on the ball and they can contest closer, and they feel like, you know what, we got a few shot blockers. And obviously Charles Matthews is a shot blocker. Something that I did not expect is that. I really am shocked how difficult they are to score on, where I think the only time they have a problem is when they get a little lazy, where they don't contest all the time. You'll find out when you watch him on film, it's really hard to drive on them. It's really difficult. They don't foul. They block shots cleanly, whereas Wagner he fouled a lot. He got a little too physical. He wasn't a shot blocker. And I think they're better. Where they're better even on offense is even though Teske is not a threat as much as Wagner was, he's so wide open. If he can just hit a couple shots a game, which he has really proven since the Big Ten tournament last year, when he's open, he hits shots. He can hit the 15-footer. He can hit threes when he's wide open. you have to pay attention to them now. And I think when you watch film, and when you said, well, they're going to find out about Teske, you know, they're going to watch film on him and figure him out, here's what you can figure out. Don't leave them open. Just don't leave them wide open. But when you do that, then you're guarding closer, and then you're allowing no help with the other guys. And that's where Michigan's going to be really tough to be, because it's really hard to contain Simpson. It's really hard to stop Matthews. And Jordan Poole looks great right now. And Iggy can drive and shoot from three. You've got three guys on Michigan starting lineup that can shoot from three, can drive, and can hit mid-range. That is so, so hard to stop.
And that's the thing, though, is you say don't leave them open, but right now, who do you really want taking those shots? Like, you want to leave Matthews open? No. You want to
leave
Poole
open?
Any of them absolutely
open.
No. You want to leave them open. So, and you don't want to leave Simpson open, because if he can, I mean, obviously he can get to the rim, but as well as anybody in the conference, but if he starts hitting his threes and his confidence is up, then he becomes impossible to guard. And so,
yeah. Again, you gotta
and I mean, he, when
guy.
He hits the threes and that's when he hits the threes, when he gets going, he's probably the best player on the floor. And so, of all of those options, the one guy you would want to leave open is Teske. And that's a huge problem for defenses.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I think you made a good point about Simpson. I almost feel like he might be the downfall, because the teams start figuring out, hey, we're not going to press forward on Simpson. Let's see if he can hit a shot. He's not a good shooter at all. He has a hard time with the free throw line. He's not a consistent three-point shooter, where Eli Brooks, who comes off the bench, is a really good three-point shooter. So Simpson's a facilitator. He really gets the paint. He's strong. He's not a great scorer from outside. So I think if you're going to guard Michigan, you got to say, hey, let's go under every ball screen and let's see if Simpson can beat us from outside. Because when they go over the top, it's trouble, because he's very good at, you know, keeping his dribble, you know, using his body, driving on the big. Go under everything. Go under everything on Simpson. See if he can hit threes. But, yeah, they're tough to stop. I mean, Michigan State and Michigan are the two teams where you got to say, well, oh, my gosh, what do we give up? I mean, we got to give up something, because they all, you know, both teams can really score it. Whereas I think if Michigan State can improve defensively, then we're going right back to where we started, where Michigan State and Michigan are by far the best two teams in the conference. You know, they won the conference last year, both teams did. So I don't think we're going to see anything different if both schools figure, you know, what their strengths are and fix their weaknesses. It's a lot of fun, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to that game, because when I look at the matchups, Michigan State and Michigan, it is so even. I mean, there's a lot of advantage there from both schools in certain areas. But really, I mean, Ward's the physical guy that everyone's going to have a hard time stopping. Teske's the one guy who can physically match up with him, probably. I mean, you could say Ethan Happ, too, at Wisconsin, but Ethan Happ's not a strong guy. And then the guard play.
He got bullied in East Lansing last year.
Yeah, he got destroyed. So, you know, as far as physicality, skill, speed, Michigan and Michigan State are the top two. And I can't wait for that game, because, you know, other than, you know, it's not like football where we want to kill each other during the season. It's a lot of fun to watch both teams in basketball, you know, and I can't wait to see that matchup. But we got to wait.
I think the thing between those two is, look, there's respect in basketball. There is a level of respect between Izzo and Beilein, between Winston and Simpson, and you have that respect now that even, I mean, you didn't even have 2 years ago with Wagner and Nick Ward going at it. And so I think there's a lot, but at the same time, you still respected them even though they didn't get along. So I think that the level of respect is just so high between the two teams, and where in football, obviously that's not the case.
There's none. There's none.
Yeah.
I think what we get in basketball, thank God, because it helps us all calm down and realize how special it is in the state. You got two teams that every single year, if they continue to look like this, could make the Final Four. That's so much fun, because this year Michigan State could make the Final Four. Michigan, if they continue, also could. Last year, Michigan got hot, Final Four team, Michigan State, was supposed to win the national title. That's a lot of fun that we have that in our state, because you don't get to – it doesn't happen very long. No, I don't know how this thing's going to shape up in years. Coaches leave eventually. And we need to appreciate this and respect what we have in this, you know, this state, because now, you know, we got a big decision, you know, coming up this week for Michigan State's future. Vernon Carey might go Sparty, which would be unbelievable. So we got a lot of excitement surrounding this state in basketball. Michigan just keeps finding a way to get better, which is cool. And they don't get the recruits this state does. So it's different, but it's the same because they both win. You know, there ain't no fakeness here. Like football, the fakeness of Harbaugh, I'm over it. And the best sign, Tyler, yesterday in the stands, oh, I loved it. I wish I would have sent it to you. Yes, we are a basketball school now. Thank God somebody realized it. Yes, you're not a football school. You've won nothing in football. Time, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about that level of respect. I mean, I definitely don't share any with Michigan on football, but look, Beilein is as tough as they come. He adapted. He adapted to the Big Ten style of play when he moved over from West Virginia, when Michigan was poaching West Virginia coaches left and right, including Rich Rodriguez. The glory days. And
Stop it.
Beilein's just done a great job of raising them up.
Don't you ever
I think
mention those two names ever again, Rich or Rodriguez. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give a shout-out to you, Tyler Hayward, because you, when you show up to every game, no matter how bad or good they are, I remember myself in 09 going to the Rich Rod bullcrap, and that was atrocious. And absolutely atrocious.
Beilein, since that time, a lot of people thought that he was on his way out the door eventually.
He was.
And they held on to him for one more year, and Michigan had a surprising run. And, I mean, it's obviously been up from there. Finally dug them out of the grave, Jalen Rose and Chris Webber, to, like, bury U of M basketball. And so he's done a great job there. We talked about Thursday. Thursday we will have Ryan McCumber on. He's going to talk a little bit about his new show that he started. He is the head of the 10,000 plus strong Michigan State recruiting group on Facebook. He knows everything about every recruit, everybody that Michigan State's looking at. So with or without Vernon Carey, you know, Michigan State, they'll have a couple scholarships open and they're targeting some big names. He'll be on to talk about that. Hopefully we are trying to get – I am trying to get this set up right now. And so it's going to be a big deal. He'll be on to talk about recruiting targets if Michigan State misses on Carey, who they're looking at for the last scholarship, assuming Rocket Wasp is still there, which I'm assuming he is since he's recruiting Carey. So it's going to be a big deal this week. Let's not forget, you know, Michigan State has to play Iowa too. And so it's going to be a big week of college hoops. Florida waiting in the wings still for MSU. And, you know, obviously Michigan, can they keep this going? You know, a lot of people thought Villanova was a fluke. And it sucks for U of M because now people are starting to think, hey, maybe North Carolina was a fluke because of the way they lost to Texas. And is Texas really that good? And is, you know, is Purdue really that good? Like we're talking about right now. It sucks for U of M because they've played great basketball, period. And they'll
That's all that matters.
Obviously, as this Big Ten season progresses, we'll get to see, look, is this team for real? And I think we'll get to find out sooner rather than later.
Well, they were going to lose some games. I mean, it's bound to happen. And, you know, I just like the way they're playing. I don't see – here's the difference between football and basketball as well. See, in football, when you beat a team and they maybe not as good as you thought, it does matter. But in basketball, when you have rhythm – and you're shooting the ball well, and the confidence is flowing, it really don't matter how bad the other team is or how good. It's how you play. And I think in football, it's harder to judge because you know, like look at Michigan, absolutely ran through Penn State, looked like one of the best teams in the country. We found out Penn State sucked. So, you know, we probably should have seen that coming. Whereas in basketball, I don't care who they beat, it's how they play. And even when they beat Norfolk State, they looked really good. And that's where basketball, like you said earlier, it's more of a one-on-one game. How are guys like Jordan Poole playing? Are they stepping up? Are they filling the void that Rockman has left? Yes, he is. So that's where basketball is a little different. But, yeah, you know, you got some good stuff set up for us with McCumber and recruiting for State. I've been in contact with Sean Higgins, former U of M NCAA champion in 1989. I think he wants to come on eventually. He's got 9-star recruiting. So, oh, my God, Tyler, we're getting under the recruiting end. I never thought this would happen. I never thought it would.
Hey, you know what? Recruiting's just as important a part of anything else unless you're John Calipari and you end up choking in the March. So.
Oh, stop. Tyler, cha-ching, he's on fight. You know, you always like to get these digs, and they're always about me because I like Calipari. Whether it's Rich Rodriguez or Calipari, you know what? I'm going to write some stuff down for our next show, and I'm going to get you back. So, I mean, I know one thing for sure. You know, we like to go on Anchor, but Tyler's phone is about as old as Jim Harbaugh's play calling, so we can't go on Anchor, so we're going to stay on Blog Talk Radio for a while. But we are going to show Anchor. I know Ryan and Sterner are on Anchor, right? Aren't they on Anchor now? I think they're using their podcast.
I believe so, yeah. Yeah, so maybe we can talk to Ryan about the benefits of Anchor, too.
Yeah, can we please get Tyler a new phone? Christmas wish list. Tyler Hayward, new phone, upgrade, so we can do Anchor. You know, I don't know. I know we get paid big time from the show, but I don't know if I can afford a new phone for you. But, yeah, fun week, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Thank God basketball's here. I can feel better. I can sleep better at night. No matter how good Michigan State is, I love the Big Ten. I love this conference. I love the play. So, yeah, we'll get after Tyler. This is a huge week, man. Vernon Carey, I really hope he goes Sparty. That makes it more fun for our state. We need top kids to go to Michigan or Michigan State, and I really hope that happens.
You package him with Rocket Watts, and you throw Malik Hall in there. Obviously, that other scholarship end up even being Isaiah Stewart. A dangerous class with Winston Langford coming back next year, and Henry getting another year under his belt, so it would be a big time deal.
Yeah, Michigan State recruiting like madmen, and Michigan just still developing well, so it makes both teams always good. Thanks again, Ty, man. We'll get after it this week, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, talk to you Thursday.
And Tyler Hayward on Rivalry Radio. We'll get back on it this week. Obviously, huge news recruiting. Vernon Carey may go Sparty. Excited about that. And we can talk a little bit more about the games this week. Obviously, Sparty has Iowa Monday. And Michigan has a couple tough ones coming up soon. On the road at Northwestern's never fun. Then they got South Carolina at home. Again, Rivalry Radio, where every rivalry matters, except none more than one Michigan State. We'll get on it this week. Thanks again, Ty, for all you do. Again, Rivalry Radio, over and out.